Let's read together Leviticus chapter 15. This chapter deals with ritual cleansing in reference to all kinds of bodily secretions or discharges, both natural and unnatural, and from both men and women. Let's begin by reading the first 15 verses of this chapter, which have to do with a man's chronic, unnatural bodily discharge. Leviticus chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, When any man has a discharge from his body, his discharge is unclean. And this shall be his uncleanness in regard to his discharge, whether his body runs with his discharge or his body is stopped up by his discharge, it is his uncleanness. Every bed is unclean on which he who has the discharge lies, and everything on which he sits shall be unclean. And whoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. He who sits on anything on which he who has the discharge sat shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And he who touches the body of him who has the discharge shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. If he who has the discharge spits on him who is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Any saddle on which he who has the discharge rides shall be unclean. Whoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean until evening. He who carries any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And whomever the one who has the discharge touches and has not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. The vessel of earth that he who has the discharge touches shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. And when he who has a discharge is cleansed of his discharge, then he shall count for himself 7 days for his cleansing, wash his clothes, and bathe his body in running water, then he shall be clean. On the 8th day he shall take for himself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, and come before the Lord to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and give them to the priest. Then the priest shall offer them, the one as a sin offering, and the other as a burnt offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord because of his discharge. Let's begin our study of Leviticus chapter 15 with some background notes. Again, we mention that chapters 11 through 15 of Leviticus form a distinct section of Leviticus relating to ritual cleanliness. In chapter 11, we saw laws relating to ritual cleanliness in reference to diet. In chapter 12, we saw laws relating to ritual cleanliness in reference to childbirth. In chapters 13 and 14, we saw laws relating to ritual cleanliness in reference to skin diseases. And now here in Leviticus chapter 15, we will see laws relating to ritual cleanliness in reference to bodily discharges. All types of male and female bodily secretions or discharges are covered in this chapter, both natural and unnatural. Now, the first question that probably comes to mind when you read this chapter is, why was God concerned about such mundane matters, and why in such detail? This is not the kind of chapter you want to have as your Sunday morning scripture reading at church. The reason as to why God included a chapter like this in the Bible includes several answers. Number one, God was concerned with the well-being of his people, and these detailed laws prevented the spread of disease. Number two, these laws definitely separated God's people from the surrounding foreign nations and their pagan practices. These laws, if followed, would prevent any kind of pagan sexual fertility rites from creeping into Israel. The foreign nations all practice fertility rites as part of their pagan religion and pagan temple worship. And number three, a third reason for these detailed laws was to separate the common from the sacred. There were certain bodily functions that were natural and not sinful, but because of these laws, they would be kept separate from that which was sacred. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for Leviticus chapter 15. So, doctrinal or teaching point number one. Under the law, men were unclean when they had natural or unnatural bodily discharges. Under the law, men were unclean when they had natural or unnatural bodily discharges. In verses 1 through 15 of this chapter, the verses that we just read, the subject is unnatural, chronic male bodily discharges. Not only was the discharge unclean, but the man was unclean, and everyone and everything he touched was unclean. And anyone who touched what he touched became unclean. If his saliva got on anyone, they were unclean. Pottery that was touched was to be broken and thrown away. Wooden vessels had to be washed with water. Now, as to a spiritual picture here, all of this certainly portrays the defiling nature of sin. The fact that sacrifices had to be brought in the cleansing ritual emphasizes this point. Not that the man had committed some particular sin resulting in his disease, but the fact that all unnatural bodily discharges are because of the fall and the effects of sin. If sin had not come into the world, there would be no unnatural bodily discharges. And there will be no unnatural bodily discharges from our resurrected bodies. So the defiling nature of sin is certainly pictured here. We are sinners by nature, and therefore unclean and defiled. We are not only defiled, but defiling. Everything we touch, so to speak, becomes unclean. There must be cleansing before there can be fellowship with God and His people. Notice the emphasis on the running water in verse 13, as we had in the cleansing of the leper in chapter 14. Here again, the importance of the cleansing water of the Word of God is part of the spiritual picture. Now in verses 16 through 18, the subject is the natural secretion of men. Let's read these verses. Leviticus chapter 15, verses 16 through 18. If any man has an emission of semen, then he shall wash all his body in water and be unclean until evening. And any garment and any leather on which there is semen, it shall be washed with water and be unclean until evening. Also, when a woman lies with a man and there is an emission of semen, they shall bathe in water and be unclean until evening. I used to tell my students in Old Testament survey that these verses were not about mission work among the Seminole Indians. No, these verses have to do with the emission of semen, either some nocturnal emission or during marital intercourse. Notice that no sacrifices were required in the cleansing ritual. Just wash and wait a day. So why were the man and his wife ceremonially unclean and not allowed in the temple courts if no sin was involved? Answer, to separate the common from the sacred. There was nothing sinful about a husband and a wife having sex, but then to rush over to the temple in time for church was not the greatest mix. Separating the common from the sacred is a moral principle that is still valid today, and many examples could be given. In verses 19 through 24, the subject is the bodily discharge of a female during her normal menstrual cycle, and that leads us to our second doctrinal point. So doctrinal point number two. Under the law, women were unclean when they had natural or unnatural bodily discharges. Under the law, women were unclean when they had natural or unnatural bodily discharges. Leviticus chapter 15, beginning now with verse 19. If a woman has a discharge, and the discharge from her body is blood, she shall be set apart 7 days, and whoever touches her shall be unclean until evening. Everything that she lies on during her impurity shall be unclean. Also, everything that she sits on shall be unclean. Whoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And whoever touches anything that she sat on shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. If anything is on her bed or on anything on which she sits, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until evening. And if any man lies with her at all, so that her impurity is on him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and every bed on which he lies shall be unclean. Again, there is nothing sinful here. And by being unclean, it did give the woman some rest from her normal duties and some time to renew her energy. Now in verses 25 through 30, we have the regulations for a woman who had an unnatural chronic discharge of blood. Let's read these verses. Leviticus chapter 15, beginning now with verse 25. If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, other than at the time of her customary impurity, or if it runs beyond her usual time of impurity, all the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of her customary impurity. She shall be unclean. Every bed on which she lies, all the days of her discharge shall be to her as the bed of her impurity, and whatever she sits on shall be unclean, as the uncleanness of her impurity. Whoever touches those things shall be unclean. He shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. But if she is cleansed of her discharge, then she shall count for herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. And on the 8th day she shall take for herself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and bring them to the priest to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the priest shall offer the one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her before the Lord for the discharge of her uncleanness. We see that this condition required sacrifices, as in the case of male abnormal bodily discharges. Again, it reminds us that sin, which came in with the fall, is the reason for disease and unnatural bodily discharges. Under the law, women were unclean when they had natural or unnatural bodily discharges. And now what about practical application for Leviticus chapter 15? Don't mix the sacred with the common. Don't mix the sacred with the common. Let's read the last 3 verses of the chapter. Leviticus chapter 15, verses 31 through 33. Thus you shall separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, lest they die in their uncleanness when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. This is the law for one who has a discharge, and for him who emits semen and is unclean thereby, and for her who is indisposed because of her customary impurity, and for one who has a discharge, either man or woman, and for him who lies with her who is unclean. We see in these summary verses that it was very important to the Lord to keep the unclean separate from the tabernacle, which was his dwelling place in the midst of his people. Even though what was causing the uncleanness was not sinful. Again, the point was to keep the common and the sacred separate. This was important in that day, and it is important today. Illustration. Let's say we are on a Christian weekend retreat in a camping area and decide to have a worship and praise service outside on a beautiful Sunday morning. Everything said and sung is bringing glory to God. And then some well-meaning Christian gets up and says, "You know, I just want to praise the Lord that someone remembered to bring toilet paper for the weekend. Otherwise, we would be in big trouble." Now, this is an extreme example, but you get the point. Even though the Lord, in his grace, did remind someone to bring toilet paper, and even though it was not sinful to thank the Lord for this blessing, it was the wrong time and place. Many other examples could be given. Don't mix the sacred with the common.